Today is indeed a special day in that we get to celebrate two sacraments. It is a double sacrament Sunday, and that's exciting for me, and I think it should be exciting for all of us today. And so before we do the sacrament of baptism and before we do the Lord's Supper this morning, let me ask you a question. What is a sacrament? Okay, now, maybe you've got some ideas about what a sacrament is. It's a great question to ask on a day like today. Maybe you're thinking, what does it really mean? What does the word sacrament really mean? Well, the short answer to that question is, a sacrament is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. Okay, there's the quick answer, and you ought to reflect on that idea. A sign, okay, we all know what a sign is. There's a big sign flashing out on 44 in front of the church this morning, and it's warning you about something. It's a big display that's making something known. That's what a sign does. When you see a sign on the highway that's got a yellow sign with a squiggly line and an arrowhead on it, what does that mean? It means the road ahead of you is crooked and that you probably ought to slow down, right? That you need to be careful. That there's a danger ahead, something that you need to be careful about. And the yellow, by the way, those yellow signs, the reason the signs are yellow is because they mean caution. Now, did you know that actually what I understand is you can't be held liable for not obeying the yellow signs? Okay? Now, you might be held liable in other ways that are unfortunate, but, you know, the law can't hold you liable for not. Anyway, there's a lawbreaker in all of our hearts. What can I say? You know, so maybe you own a jersey, you know? How many of you own sports jersey and your favorite Maple Leafs player is on the jersey, you know, or your sports team or, you know, your favorite player's number or whatever. How about this one? I've never had one of these, okay? How about that two-stroke fish sign that people put on the back of their car? Okay? That represents the fact that they are believers in Christ. Now, what that does for me is it says to me that I can't drive the way I like to drive if I have one of those on the back of my car. I drive like a preacher, okay? I just admit it. You may as well just get it out there in front of everybody. I do. So here's the point. A sacrament is a sign. It's like that yellow sign. It's like that flashing sign. It is a sign that represents something. It makes something known to us. The same way, a sacrament is also a seal, okay? When we talk about the sacrament being a seal, what does that mean? A seal testifies to the authenticity of something. You carry a sealed document with you everywhere you go, I bet. It's your driver's license. It has a seal on it that certifies that you actually took and passed the driving test. Now, we don't know how long ago you took it. We don't know what grade you made on it. But we know that if you've got that driver's license, you are sealed, you are certified, you are qualified, supposedly, to drive. Supposedly, okay. We got to give some margin for error, admittedly, okay? The dollar bills in your wallet have seals on them so they can be authenticated and not duplicated and not made into, fake currency and counterfeit and that kind of thing. And here's the deal about a seal. A seal doesn't benefit the one who performs the seal. It benefits the one who has the document. So when you go to the lawyer and you do a power of attorney or you do a will or some other legal document, they have a notary come in and the notary signs off on another document that says, indeed, this is a trustworthy document and I have witnessed the signature of these people on this document. And then he takes these fancy pliers and he crunches the paper between those two jaws of the pliers. And it crinkles it up in a little seal, and it proves the authenticity of the document. A sacrament is a seal because it testifies and confirms that a believer has received the grace of Christ into their lives.
baptism and the Lord's Supper are signs and seals of the fact that someone has put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, so I understand that we live in a world where there are a lot of people who think about baptism and they think about what baptism means and all of that, and they're thinking, you Presbyterians, y'all just use this little bitty dinky thing and it doesn't have but just that much water in it. Y'all don't use enough water. Well, I don't want to talk about mode so much this morning, although I can defend why we use that much water. I want to talk about what baptism represents. It's a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. What does it represent to us? Water of baptism is poured out, or it is sprinkled, as we're going to do this morning, to represent the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of y'all need more water than others. Some of you take longer showers than others, and it's okay. The sign and the seal, the quantity of water, doesn't really matter. So we receive people who have been fully immersed. That's not a problem for us as Presbyterians, because we believe that it symbolizes the work of the Holy Spirit. When you watch with the sacrament in just a little while, we're going to break the bread. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes Christ's body broken for us. When we partake of the wine, what does that wine symbolize? It symbolizes Christ's blood having been poured out for us. There's a sense that we're looking back to the original Exodus, where the Passover meal takes place. Okay? We're looking at the fact that the blood of a lamb has been shed and has been sprinkled on the doorpost and over the lintel of the homes of those who are part of the covenant community. That wine and that bread nourish our bodies. In the same way, our souls are nourished by Christ and by His Word. So, if you're a believer in Christ, come and hear and see the gospel of Christ. My mentor, as I was early in the ministry, Paul Settle, used to use this term about the signs and seals of the covenant of grace. He used to say, these are God's audiovisual aids for us. I think it's a great way to think about it. It's a way for us to see what God is doing. We administer the sign of baptism because Christ commands it. We're told that it ought to be administered to believers. And we're also told that not only believers are to receive the sign of the covenant of grace, but it represents and reminds us also of our families and our children being part of the covenant community. You remember in the Old Testament when Abraham received the covenant of grace from God in Genesis chapter 17? What did he do? He was circumcised. He circumcised himself, and he circumcised every male in his household. Everyone in the household received the sign. Now, does that mean that everyone in the household, in Abraham's household, were believers at that point? Probably not. But they all received the sign because they were under the covenant household of a covenant relationship, a covenant community with God. So the baptism represents our union and our communion with Christ as part of the covenant community. So we extend baptism not just to believers, but to believers and to their children. Now, here's the other half of it. We know that all of Abraham's family, all of Abraham's household, that meant all the servants, all the people who worked with Abraham, probably weren't believers. But it also means that they receive the sign, okay? So when we baptize our children, we don't believe that our baptism, just like someone's circumcision, automatically saves them. It gives them the mark of being part of the covenant community, part of the covenant family. It ought to remind us of our union with Christ. It ought to remind us of our entrance into His visible body as a family. Baptism is a washing or cleansing with water, in the name of the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They represent washing and cleansing, and I think we can all agree on that. So we baptize those who make a clear profession of faith alone in Christ. Just Christ alone. That's all. And also the infants of believing children. And here, let's go to the scriptures for that. How about Acts chapter 2, verse 39? Okay,
Acts 2:39. This is Peter is preaching, and Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." He's speaking, and this is the coming of the Holy Spirit here in Acts chapter 2. And this is Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost. And he says, okay, all of you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the very next words out of Peter's mouth are these. For the promise, he's talking about the Old Testament promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 17. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Guys, we're the ones who are the ones far off. The promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter links baptism to circumcision and links that as part of a covenant sign, part of the covenant community of Jesus Christ. One covenant of grace throughout the whole of the scriptures, all the way from the opening chapter of Genesis, chapter 3 in Genesis, where we're promised a Messiah, all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation. One covenant of grace. How are we saved? Are we saved by baptism? No. Are we saved by keeping the Lord's Supper? No. Those are signs of something that's taken place in our hearts. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So when we do have an infant baptism this morning, we're saying we're looking forward to that day when that child puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we do a believer's baptism, which we are going to do this morning, we are saying that person is acknowledging their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. The people of God are one and the same, Old Testament and New Testament. We need to understand that. The church did not start, God's people did not start in the book of Acts. That's contrary to a lot of things that people will tell you. Now, the New Testament church started then, but faith in Christ, faith in Messiah has been through one covenant of grace all along. So what else does that mean? I'm going to conclude this quickly. It means that just like the Israelites, when they circumcised the males in their household, had a responsibility to carry out the doorpost command. You know what the doorpost command is, right? You shall speak of the Lord your God. You shall teach your children all that the Lord your God has revealed to you. When you walk by the way, when you rise in the morning, you should teach your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, read the first 9 verses of that. You should teach your children what it means to walk with God. It means that we need to teach and disciple our children. It means that when Peter baptized these people on the day of Pentecost, that they took on an obligation to teach their children as well. We need to teach and disciple our children. Dare I say, catechize our children? I think we neglect a great means of teaching our children. By the way, look in the back of your hymnal sometime this morning. If you're bored during the sermon, flip back to the back of the hymnal. You'll find the Westminster Confession and the catechisms. Take a few minutes and think about how you could use those in your home. We need to be reminded, baptism is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. It doesn't automatically save. It's not magic. It's not anything like that. It's a sacrament that lays on us as parents and as the church body an obligation to teach our children the truth and to train them in righteousness, praying all the while that God, in his good time and in his promises, would be realized in their hearts by faith and by repentance. That's a run-up to what we're about to do this morning. The Richters are about to join New Hope Presbyterian Church. Craig and Sheena and Emma Kate are going to become members of New Hope Presbyterian Church. Emma Kate is going to receive the sign of baptism this morning, believer's baptism this morning.
and their son Grayson, who is not quite as ready as Emma Kate to be a full-fledged member of New Hope Presbyterian Church, is going to receive the sign of a covenant child this morning. And so we're going to see the baptism of a believer and the baptism of a child in the covenant of grace. So this morning I'm going to ask the Richters to come up, and Matt and I are going to walk us through their baptisms. First things first, let's start with you, Craig and Sheena, and let me ask you the questions that we've talked about a gazillion times, the vows of membership here in the church. And Emma Kate, because you have joined the church too, you've interviewed with the session, I want the three of you, all three of you, to speak so that Rob in the very back of the room can hear you, okay? So give your answers, okay? Do you believe yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure, and without hope except for his sovereign mercy? Do you?
Yes.
I couldn't hear your head. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he's offered in the gospel? Do you?
Yes.
Thank you. And do you resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes a follower of Christ?
Yes.
Do you promise to serve Christ and his church by supporting and participating in its worship and work to the best of your ability?
Yes.
And do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church and promise to further its purity and peace?
Yes.
All right. Now we come to the place where we will baptize Emma Kate this morning, and so let's move to that. This is an exciting day. Emma Kate, let me stand here, and we'll rearrange. And you step forward a little bit. Okay. Emma Kate, you have professed your faith in Jesus. You have received membership in the family of New Hope Presbyterian Church, and we are excited because Christ has done something beautiful in your heart and in your life. This morning, I want to give you the sign of the covenant. So, Emma Kate, let me give you the sign of the covenant here. Let me get to the right note here. Emma Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Matt, will you pray for Emma Kate? I'll give you something.
Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for your work of grace in the Richter family and your work of grace in Emma Kate's life. Lord, as she has taken her place here at New Hope, Lord, we acknowledge that you have placed your name upon her, that she is your beloved daughter. We thank you so much for that grace, for the precious blood of Christ, and for this body of believers here at New Hope that Emma Kate is a part of. We pray that she would grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You want to? Okay. And now we move. Yeah, really, we want it sick. And now we're going to move to Grayson. Grayson has yet to put his faith in Christ, but I think Grayson is growing so much, and I don't think it'll be long before Grayson will be taking his place as a member of the body of Christ here at New Hope. But we're going to give Grayson the sign of the covenant because he's part of this covenant family. He's a child of the covenant. And you guys are seeing before you this morning just the beautiful outworking of God's promises. This is an exciting day. So Craig and Sheena, let me ask you to make these vows this morning. Do you acknowledge Grayson's need for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you?
Yes.
And secondly, do you rest and claim Christ's covenant promises in his behalf? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation just as you do for your own? Do you?
Yes.
And last, Do you now unreservedly dedicate Grayson to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before him a godly example, that you will pray with and for him, and that you will teach him the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you?
Yes.
To the congregation, I have a vow for you as well. And this is a very serious vow. Do you, as New Hope Presbyterian Church, undertake the responsibility, and it is that, of assisting the Richters in their job as in raising Grayson in the Christian nurture Christ? Will you take that vow, and will you assist the Richters as we raise Grayson as a believer in Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand if you take that vow? Okay, children's church nurseries have just been filled. Grayson, I'm going to give you the sign of the covenant just as I did Emma Kate, okay? Grayson Richter, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matt, will you pray again?
I will. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again so much for the Richter family and for just this beautiful display of your mercies and grace upon them. And we pray for Grayson, Lord, even as now we know that he is professing and in this childlike way his faith in Christ. We pray that he would grow up into his baptism, and that he would very soon come to this place where he wants to commune with Christ at the Lord's table. Lord, we pray that you would continue to encourage and strengthen Craig and Sheena as they lead this family, as they raise these children up in the Lord, and help us as the church to come alongside them. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we want to, first of all, welcome you to the Covenant community. And just, we love you guys, and we're so excited to have you taking your place with us. The Lord blessing on you. And who says that we need to use more water? I mean, really. Congratulations. All right. Come here, buddy. You owe me one.